Anyway, I joined the Office of Family Health a year and a half ago. I was the first informaticist for them, and they brought me in because they had a big problem on their hands. So they have a system that they've been trying to build for over 8 years at this point called FamilyNet. FamilyNet is Oregon's encounter-based data system consisting of a suite of applications that support services provided by the Office of Family Health. Today, the data in FamilyNet is not integrated into a single view of the client, and that is the problem that we're addressing. So the problem is legacy database silos. We have duplication of clients across programs, duplication of effort by users, redundant, often conflicting data from one silo to the next. Talk about standardization. There is none in this data, and nor are there standardization and policies across the silos. It's old technology with very high maintenance costs, limited access to the data for evaluation, large volume of clients managed. However, some of these silos are very popular with both providers and staff. The staff are very committed because they were involved in developing these things over the last 10 or 15 years. So we did, about a year ago, a survey of all the programs in the Office of Family Health, and you see to the right here what makes up the Office of Family Health. Adolescent, early hearing, detection and intervention, family planning, immunizations, maternal child health, oral health, and WIC, Women, Infant, and Children Supplemental Nutrition Program. So we wanted to know what databases are out there because the department actually didn't know, other than like the main ones like immunization and WIC, they didn't know what was out there. So we surveyed all of the programs to find out what databases they had. Found out there were 52 databases that were operational in the department, and we did all this work in preparation for strategic planning. We found redundant, error-prone, non-standard databases. In this one office, we had 11 separately developed applications that were doing nothing but managing contact information for the local health departments, completely separately developed, and nobody knew that the other one program even had them. And so, you know, we had duplication all over the place. Old technology, high cost, limited access. We have a COBOL application. It's now being retired, but still we have very old technology, Sybase Power Builder, old clumsy applications that have been in business for many years and, you know, more than ready to be retired. Large volume of clients managed. This one category, these are all chopped off, but the one that says program-specific primary application, these are the things that what the program is actually about, like in the case of immunization, their registry for immunizations in the WIC application and stuff like that. 2.8 million clients being managed by those applications, so these are not like little things we can throw away. These are, you know, these old systems are managing large numbers of clients. So we did, about a year ago, we did strategic planning with all the stakeholders involved, and we had a retreat and all of this, and came up with what is the vision, what should, if we're gonna like, you know, clear the deck and come up with a new system, what should we be able to do? So the statement that they came up with what they want to do is the capability to do assessment of the Office of Family Health populations to improve health status and better serve our community's needs. So that's what they want to be able to do. And they had these big goals. Information is available on demand and shared as broadly as possible. I mean, it sounds like a duh, but we're not there. Data is managed to maximize program effectiveness. Partners value and incorporate FamilyNet data into their operations, which is not happening today. And the public health information record is available to clients, providers, and partners. So these are the big goals that they want to try, that the department office wants to meet. And so these were the graphics that we came up with in that strategic planning. First, there's our population. The child is in the center, women, extended family, and community radiating out. Primary focus is on children. And so what they want to be able to do to this population, assess them for needs, what programs or does this particular child or family need, perform an intervention, measure, is this program being successful, and keep that process going. Don't worry about reading this, because that's not the intention. Basically, assess, perform an intervention, and measure. So what we did is define what kind of functionality are we going to need to do each of those kind of things on a level that we're going to standardize the functionality and have these different programs use that. So under assessment, basically what we're doing is we're screening. So here are the things that you need to be doing for screening. Under intervention, enrolling eligible clients into programs, coordinating service delivery, and so forth. Under measurement, it's not just measuring outcomes, but it's also billing, like bill Medicaid, that kind of thing. And what roles do we have in this? And we'll be going into this in detail in subsequent slides, so don't worry about it, trying to understand it. But what roles are going to be doing something in all of this? And then what sort of decision support tools can we be providing that'll help get this done better, automate the process, and do a better job of it? And then we also, health information exchange. We've got county health departments out there that have practice management systems and a little bit of EMR, but they're collecting data that we need, and we're collecting data that they need. And then the other thing is the ability to coordinate all this, to assign permissions to the system, to define knowledge base, build forms, all of this kind of thing. So we want to address common functionality and roles. And in the course a year ago of doing the information management survey, we also interviewed all of the managers of the programs and got more detail on what it is they're trying to do. And we came up with the commonality across programs. Some have more or less, but these are the big ones. Referrals into the system and all the programs that they get referred to, screening for program eligibility, enrolling the child or the family into a program, assigning them to a guideline-directed care plan, coordinating the service delivery, documenting the encounters, accounting for the service, like billing Medicaid or reporting to the sponsor or the legislature, whoever that's picking up the tab for it, evaluating outcomes, and surveillance. So those were the big ones. And the roles that have to be addressed in the system, the client themselves, in the client's family in the case of a child, the staff and all its permutations, every kind of staff member you're going to have and what they're going to do, the program itself that's responsible for the registry and whatever else, the administrator who oversees things, the provider out in the field who wants to know, what is this child up to date on immunizations? Is this child on WIC? Agency and partners who can make referrals to us. Whoever's sponsoring it, a lot of this is federally sponsored stuff, but we also have private funding as well. And then the legislature, every biennium we have to report all these performance measures to the state legislature. So we want to provide tools to improve program effectiveness and efficiency. Decision support, the kind of things we would like to be able to provide and we intend to provide. We want to tell them when a certain baseline set of information is entered on a client, we want to tell them which programs the client is eligible for. And if, for example, in WIC, if the child is over 5, what are alternatives for that child? Where else can they go for food? We want to recommend guideline-directed care plans. We want to send alerts and reminders to encourage compliance. And we want to make sure that required elements are captured for the encounters, for performance measures, and whatever else has to happen. And we want to make sure all the data elements are mapped to standards, because that today there are no standards other than the immunization files. There are just basically no standards anywhere in all of those 52 databases. So then the other thing we want to do, health information exchange, the little bit of EMR that's out there, interact with that one, exchange with that one. And almost all the counties at this point have a practice management system of some sort because they're all billing Medicaid. So the development of this system that we're building occurs in phases. Phase one, changes to the operations data, like to get us through to the next level. Phase two, the data march. Phase three, data warehouse. Phase four, public health information record. And we'll be going into each of these. So here is a pyramid that shows the functional view of what we're trying to do. And down at the bottom here, I don't know if you can see that some of this is shaded. Can you tell that that's shaded? But basically, if it's shaded, it's already been done. And if it's white, it has to be still done. So down on the bottom, the operations data, these are the actual silos, the warts and all silos. And so these are the things that are standing alone. The WIC system alone has 369 relational databases, so it's basically kind of a mess to try to do anything with. Operational data is the data mart. Up here is the data warehouse, and up here is when we're going to get to the single client view, and we'll be breaking this down. So phase one is changes to the operations data. And these are changes that are required to the online transaction processing systems. For example, we're getting a new immunization information system because we currently have a public and a private one, and it's a whole big rigmarole to like merge the two. So we're getting one system, web-based, that's going to have everything in it. These systems are optimized for data entry and editing and predefined reporting, and they're designed to manage daily operations, and they are not good for doing ad hoc anything. And so this is the bottom row of that pyramid that we were looking at, and as you see, most of it is gray. It's done, except for the to the far right, you see IIS. That's the new immunization system. So then the next level up, the part that we're working on right now, is the data marts. And why would we go through that step? One reason, the biggest reason, is program users have immediate and ad hoc needs for the data today. And I told you that the WIC system has 369 relational files. It's almost impossible for anybody to get anything out of that system. And so the data marts are an operational data store. They're program specific and may be a subset of the data, because at the data mart level, you're not interested in the lot number for vaccines or the cell phone number of the vendor for the WIC system. You want data that the research analysts are going to go and try to evaluate the program. So it's going to be probably a subset of the data. The files are flattened, denormalized, and organized for ease of data extraction. They are not mapped to standards. The clients are not deduplicated across programs. So you still have silos, but they're cleaned up silos, basically. And program users can query and report their data, which they cannot do today. And so here's that level. And you see we have some gray that's been done, and we're still working on the others. And the great breakthrough, single client ID, sounds like another duh, but it's a breakthrough. Phase three, the data warehouse. This is where we actually link the client data across programs. We're mapping the data to standards at this level, providing tools for data analysis and improving external reporting. Also at this level, surveillance is enabled. We'll be surveilling our files, basically. Decision support's enabled, and health information exchange is enabled because, again, we have now linked all of the program data for a single client to one identifier. And so at this point, we're at this part of that triangle that we were looking at. We have a client identifier hub, a single identifier, which big breakthrough, And we have a set of data that's identified for the client, and then we have a set of data that's de-identified for analysis, aggregate reporting, and that sort of thing. So then, phase four, public health information record enables a single view of the client data. Here's a client, their immunizations, they're on WIC, there's hearing screening, all of it in one tidy little package. We're going to enable the clients to view their own personal health record. Providers and partners are going to be able to access the client records that belong to them, and it's going to be web-based, so yay. And we're at the top of the pyramid at this point with the child health, they call it the client health record. And so here's a slightly different view. This is a data rather than a functional view. And you'll notice the amount of data is decreasing with each layer, because by the time you're at the top, you're having providers out in the field who are accessing a client record. They want a summary. They don't want all the detail. They would just confuse them. They want to know, did the kid pass a hearing screen or not? So, and this is sort of the summary slide. The data silo to data warehouse meets the goals of strategic planning. Information's available on demand and shared as broadly as possible. A provider can go call up their client record and get the summary. Data is managed to maximize program effectiveness. Each player in the scenario will contribute their unique piece of data, and they will be viewing just what they're allowed to see. Partners value and incorporate FamilyNet data into their operations, such as hearing screens. The counties need this data. They need the hearing screen. We can send that data to them. Public health information record is available to clients, providers, and partners, so they can get what they need. That's the end. Oh, acknowledgments. Sorry, wasn't the end. Catherine Bradley, head of the office. Jay Magnuson, who's an informaticist and here and involved heavily in this organization. Laura Zakowski, who works in my team, and Frank Steinkellner, who works in my team. And this is my contact information in case anybody wants to track me down.